here today because I have something to read at the end of my homily, which is easier to do having it on this easel here. We don't usually do this up here, but in any case, now I feel like a king looking down on my servants. That's exactly what we don't want to think about in terms of Christ the King. It's an archaic title, a king. We don't have many kings in our world today, so it's hard for us to understand or to see it in action. And the title is fraught with misunderstandings. Usually when we think of a king or a kingdom or a land, we think of power and control, fear, riches. Those are not what is meant here by the kingdom. The kingdom of God is different, and we heard it, I think, especially portrayed in our gospel reading this morning when Jesus forgives the criminal. Today you will be with me in paradise. And what Jesus was showing is the characteristics of the kingdom of paradise are forgiveness, patience, compassion. And he'd show that on the cross with the criminal who admitted his sinfulness and asked to be forgiven. That's what the kingdom is all about. And then we ask ourselves, well, what's the relationship of the church to the kingdom? How are we as a church related to the kingdom? The church is not the kingdom, but it does provide us a means to the kingdom. It's the best way to reach the kingdom. It's what Jesus instituted as a community of believers who support each other on this arduous journey to the kingdom. And so the church really, in a sense, is the subject of our reading today, because it is what we know today as what is how we are settled and live the kingdom of God. The kingdom isn't yet, although it shows itself in many ways. Wherever God is, of course, is where the kingdom is. But at another level, we reflect the kingdom of God, and as we join here in this church, we get sustained by the food of that very kingdom, the body and blood of Christ. But we know that also that the church isn't perfect. It's made up of human beings like us who fail and who don't measure up to what our expectations are. And so we have sometimes mixed feelings about what the church is all about in this world. It's not perfect like the kingdom will be, but it's made up of you and me who are limited, who have limitations and sins. There's an Italian writer who talked about this, who reflected on this fact in a poem, and it goes this way. How much I must criticize you, my church, and yet how much I love you. You have made me suffer more than anyone, and yet I owe more to you than anyone. I should like to see you destroyed, and yet I need your presence. You have given me much scandal, and yet you alone have made me understand holiness. Never in this world have I seen anything more compromised, more false, yet never have I touched anything more pure, more generous, or more beautiful. Countless times I have felt like slamming the door of my soul in your face, and yet every night I have prayed that I might die in your sure arms. No, I cannot be free of you, for I am one with you, even if not completely you. Then too, where would I go? To build another church? But I could not build one without the same defects, for they are my defects. And again, if I were to build another church, it would be my church, not Christ's church. No, I am old enough, I know better. Anyone who searches for God and perseveres in that quest will at some point look at the role that a human community plays in the quest and resonate what this man said. And I'm sure you can identify with some of those thoughts and reflections. Another comment from a Jesuit. Jesuits tend to say what they think. Let me make an uncommonly honest confession. In the course of half a century, I have seen more Catholic corruption than you have heard of. I have tasted it. I have felt it. I joy in this church, this living, pulsing, sinning people of God. I love it with the crucifying passion. Why? For all the Catholic hate, I experience here a community of love. For all the institutional idiocy, I find here a tradition of reason. For all the individual repressions, I breathe here an air of freedom. For all the fear of sex, I discover here the redemption of my body. In an age so inhuman, I touch here tears of compassion. In a world so grim and humorless, I share here rich joy and earthly laughter. In the midst of the death, I hear here an incomparable stress of life. For all the apparent absence of God, I sense here the real presence of Christ. Those two men shared, I think, what probably is in our own hearts and minds in some ways. We have conflicts with church, we sometimes wonder, and yet, as they say, this is where life is. This is where we experience the presence of Christ. In the responsorial psalm, we sang, "Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord." So amidst all the imperfections of our church and the people in it, we still go to the house of the Lord rejoicing. Could we sing that antiphon again?